Open it up to 1 John, please. We started our study last week of 1 John, and we got through the first four verses last week in kind of what was John's prologue of this first letter that he writes. 1 John chapter 1, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. It should have a number 1 in front of it. And we're picking it up in verse 5. Read along with me. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our hearts." Stop there with me, and let's pray. Jesus, open our hearts to the ministry of your word today. We need you to illuminate the word and open us to understanding. We ask that you would do this in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. This section of John's letter here, beginning in verse 5, starts with a statement. It's a fairly simple statement. He simply says, God is light. God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. By the way, the converse is not true. We say God is light, but light is not God. The Bible also says God is love, but the converse of that is not true. Love is not God. If those were true in the reverse, we would worship light and love, but we don't. We worship God and him alone. It's simply telling us something about his essential character, his essential makeup. God is light, all right? And so this is an important message. What he is going to do, what John is going to do, is after making the statement, God is light, he is going to speak to us about several implications for us to consider related to that. And each of these five implications regarding his being light is going to be preceded by a conjunction. Remember conjunctions in grammar? Some of you guys are old enough to remember the 1970s, Schoolhouse Rock. I could sing for you conjunction, junction, what's my function, but I won't. But let me just say that that was the coolest thing in the world. Right? Schoolhouse Rock rocked. Anyway, we're going to look at this thing. God is light. And these are the various questions, or not, they're not questions, they're statements that begin with the conjunction if, starting with if we claim to have fellowship with him. And then it goes on to say if we walk in the light. And then the third one is if we claim to be without God, or sin, rather. And then fourthly, if we confess our sins. And lastly, if we claim that we have not sinned. And I want you to notice that three of the five statements there are all about things that we claim that may or may not be true. But before we get into these statements and we look at them, we're going to first just begin by looking at the simple declaration, God is light. That's a neat thing to say. Right? You know, God is light. Cool. We could go around saying that. In fact, we could make up t-shirts, I suppose. You know, God is light. But what does it mean? And what I mean by that is, how does it illuminate our hearts as it relates to God? I mean, what does it tell us about God? When we say God is light, what does that say to us about God? Well, I think that there are several things that it does say. I'm going to put these up here on the screen for you. First of all, it tells us that he is glorious. You might have noticed that God's glory is always connected with light. And not just light, bright light. Do you remember when Jesus went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration and took with him Peter, James, and John? And there, as they're kind of hanging out on the top of this hill, it says that Jesus began to glow. I mean, his clothes became this radiant, bright, white light to the point where I imagine it probably hurt to look. And suddenly, you know, the Lord began to speak and so forth. But, you know, what was going on? What was happening? Well, the glory of the Lord was beginning to show. That was a glory, by the way, that Jesus purposely set aside during his earthly sojourn. Had Jesus walked around always displaying that glory, people would have been, they'd have been freaked out for one thing, but they would have immediately went, whoa, this is somebody, I mean, this is like God. And they would never have doubted probably anything he had to say and whatever all else. But because Jesus set aside his glory and came just like a man, looked just like a regular man, you know, they doubted him and so forth. But that's, you know, that's the glory of the Lord. That glory shines and it's an awesome thing. When you see the glory of the Lord, it's awesome. Have you ever been sitting outside during a thunderstorm watching the lightning? It's pretty cool because, you know, we did it back in Minnesota and South Dakota while we were back there here during our vacation. And several storms rolled through and gave us the opportunity. And in the Midwest, I was kind of sharing before that they don't just have lightning bolts and then thunderclaps. What they have in the Midwest when a storm rolls through is a constant roll of thunder. It doesn't stop. It just keeps thundering until the system moves through. You don't hear just a periodic thunder. It's just it's an ongoing rumble. And it's pretty, and the light is just amazing because, you know, and we did this at my parents' house. We went and we put lawn chairs out on the sidewalk and we just sat and watched. It's kind of like light show, you know. And you know, you're in the dark because it's all dark out, you know. And all of a sudden, this lightning bolt just streaks across the sky, and all these little fingers are going, and this you can hear this ripple, and you know. And I understand the lightning is actually burning up the air as it goes through, and it just lights up everything, like practically the day for just a second or so. And you kind of go, whoa, you know. I mean, it's just kind of this immediate, wow, that's amazing, you know. And that's kind of the awesomeness of the glory of God. And it's just a glimpse of the glory that God actually has. But it's always connected with this bright light. The next thing, when we say God is light, the next thing it basically tells us is that he is self-revealing. One thing about light is that it's always seen. Light shines. And when light shines, particularly in the darkness, man, you see the light. It's not hidden. It's there. It creeps into every corner. And one thing that we see about this is that, you know, there's nothing about God that's secretive or hidden. God is light. He shines everywhere. And all we got to do is just look, you know. But that's one of the things it tells us. It also tells us that he is holy. Sin and evil love the shadows. They love the dark places. Light exposes those things. And so the light is the opposite of that which is sinful and evil. And the light is it speaks to us of the holiness of God. He is utterly, utterly pure. There's no darkness. I wish I could say that about myself. Don't you? I wish I could say, I'm a Christian and in me is no darkness. But I'd be lying. Because I still have a sinful heart. I still have a sinful nature that resides in me. But, you know, I think about God, and it's an amazing thought that there's no darkness, none, not a bit, not even a hint of darkness. He's perfectly holy and pure. The next thing that it tells us about God is that he is our guide. You know, when you want to see where you're going in a dark situation, you turn on a light. At night when you want to drive, you turn on the headlights of your car or whatever vehicle you're in or whatever. The light illuminates our path, and that's, you know, that is what God does for us. He is the one who illuminates the way in front of us. He's the light that does that. And it also tells us that he is the great revealer. It never ceases to amaze me how in the dim light of my closet, a brown sock and a blue sock look identical. And if I don't bring those out into a brighter light and determine which is which, I can embarrass myself pretty badly. And you know, it's funny. Sue just this morning pulled out this skirt and she says, is the design on here dark blue or is it black? And so I said, well, bring it out into the light. Let's take a look at it. Okay, that's black. You know, it looked a little navy blue, but that was just the light. And the light changes things, doesn't it? The light reveals things. The light shows us what's really there. And, you know, some things you got to be careful about. You know, when you pull a shirt out of the closet, you know, you got to be careful that sometimes, you know, things don't get washed right and there's maybe still a stain. Don't you hate that? You go to work or something, you know, we need to have brighter lights in our closets or something. But, you know, you get to work and they get these big, huge fluorescent lights, you know, boom, you know, and somebody walks up to your desk or something. They go, is that, you got a stain? You got a thing? Oh, man, you know, I got this big stain on my shirt that didn't come out. And then you got to run in the bathroom and try to get it off, you know, something. It's just a big fat drag. Because the light reveals. The light is the revealer. And it is about this final point of what the light reveals that John is going to kind of camp on here for a couple of verses. He's going to emphasize, and he's going to talk to you and I about. And a couple of scriptures I want to bring up on the screen here about this, talk about this even further. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes and says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. He says, wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Isn't that an interesting statement? The reason Paul writes that is because even though we can walk in the illuminating light of God's presence, we still can't see perfectly. We can't see like God sees. So he says, there's some things you can't judge because you just don't know. One thing that I cannot see is I cannot see inside a human heart. I'd love to be able to, but I can't. And somebody can come to me and they can say all the right things. But until I've walked down the road with that individual and I've seen what's really going on in their life and I've seen whether they're willing to live in a way that is consistent with what they say they believe, I don't know what's in their heart. If somebody says to me, hey, I'm a Christian, I pretty much have to believe that until I see the fruit of their lives. And eventually the fruit will expose what's really going on there. But I gotta take things at face value. So Paul says, just wait, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. Because one of the elements of his very character is that he is light. And what does the light do? It exposes, it reveals, it shows what's really going on. And I think that there's going to come a time when the Lord returns and we're all going to kind of go, whoa, I didn't realize that's what was really going on there. But the Lord's going to reveal things. And then another scripture from Ephesians chapter 5. It says this. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's this idea of the light of God and its ability to reveal things that now John is going to continue to talk about. And we're going to pick it up here. Now look at verse 6 with me, if you would. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. First of all, the first thing we learn from this verse is that it is possible to claim to have fellowship with God and to be walking in the darkness. And by the way, let me just clarify something. Walking with the darkness does not mean making mistakes and repenting. That's having a lapse of judgment or something like that, where you do something you know you shouldn't do, you flesh out, you just, you know, but you come to God and you go, Father, forgive me, I did it again, I apologize, I open my heart to you, please cleanse me and wash me, I want to have a close relationship with you, you know, and that sort of thing. That's a mistake. Walking in darkness, as John describes it here, means a perpetual lifestyle of darkness, living in darkness. So what he's talking about here is he's saying that there are people who can actually claim, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I have a fellowship with God. I talk with God. He talks to me. But he says if they're actually living in a perpetual state of walking in darkness, he said, then they're lying, actually. And the truth isn't in them. And so, you know, we don't live by the truth in that sort of situation. And by the way, that doesn't necessarily even refer to a non-believer alone. When he says here that if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, yeah, that certainly could describe a non-believer who thinks they're a Christian. But it could also describe a Christian who is truly a Christian, truly a child of God, but in that backslidden state, who still is wanting to convince themselves and other people that they have a relationship with God that's ongoing, but in fact they're walking in darkness. Then John says in verse 7, look with me there, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. Now, to walk in the light here means it refers to walking in the light of God's presence and using his word as a guide for how you live. That's what it means to walk in the light. Okay? And he says that when we walk in the light, we have that clear conscience, which has a powerful effect on two things. Notice the first benefit, he says, of walking in the light is, first of all, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that interesting? You know, it's when you're talking to another Christian and they've got something going on in their life that's just unbiblical and ungodly, and they refuse to admit it, and they refuse to come out of the darkness, and they refuse to repent, you're broken in your ability to really fellowship with that Christian. And I mean fellowship. I'm not just talking about talking. You can sit and talk about anything. We actually talked about this last week. But I mean really, truly commune with that person and stuff, because they've got a situation in their life they're not dealing with. And there's this darkness that is just, they're just entrenched in it. And you're broken in your fellowship. Because if you've really got guts, you might even say to that person, what are you doing? Why are you living that way? You know that that's unbiblical. You know that that's wrong. What are you doing? But they just refuse to come out into the light and confess the thing before God. So your fellowship is broken. So John says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But then there's another very powerful element as far as the benefit of this walking in the light. Notice what he goes on to say. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. There are some people who think that walking in the light means walking in perfection. If I'm walking in the light, I'm never going to make any mistakes. If I'm walking in the light, I'm never going to flesh out. If I'm walking in the light, you know, I'm never going to do anything wrong. That's not true. Why would John say, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus keeps purifying you from all sin? See, walking in the light means walking in the perpetual understanding that I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I mess up. And I'm bringing all of those sins before the throne of grace on a regular basis. And what's happening? What's the benefit to me? The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing me from all my sins. You see, that's not going to happen if I'm walking in the darkness and I refuse to own up to the fact that I'm dealing in sin. I refuse to come before the Lord and confess my sin and say, yeah, that's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. I refuse to come out into the light. Well, am I going to be forgiven? No, I haven't even asked for forgiveness. I'm not even really dealing with my sin at all. So John says that if we walk in the light, which is the perpetual revelation that I am a sinner, then the blood of Jesus is just going to keep cleansing me from sin. Why? Because I'm going to keep bringing it to him. When I'm walking in a bright light, I see everything as it is. And when you walk with God, he shows you what kind of a person you are. It's not a very fun thing to look at usually, but it's the truth. And the truth I can deal with, because when the Lord shows things in my life that shouldn't be there, I can say, you're right, Lord, that shouldn't be there. I confess that to you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to give me the strength to go the other way, to give that continually to you and to walk in the light of your presence. What's going to be the benefit in my life? That blood of Jesus just keeps on cleansing me. Just keeps on cleansing me, okay? Why would I want to go live in the shadows? Why would I want to go live in the darkness? Because I don't want things to be exposed. That's what the Bible says. It says that those who live in darkness live there for a reason. They live there because they don't want the light to come on. Because they're happy living where they are, and they don't want the light exposing their sinful condition. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. Who are you to tell me? And they got all these arguments, you know. Don't go cramming your Christianity down my throat. You know, don't come in here and start quoting your scriptures. You know what that? You know what they're saying? Let me interpret that for you. Don't turn the light on in here. I don't want to look at myself. That's what's being said. Yeah, you Christians, you're all alike. You know what that means? Your light is blinding me. Get it out of here. I don't want to look. I don't want to see the imperfections. I don't want to see the stains. I don't want to see the problems. Get your light out of here. I'm happy living in the darkness. In verse 8, John says that if we claim to be without sin, and believe me, people do, he says that we are actually living in a state of self-deception. He says we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Remember, God is the great revealer. When you live in the light, the natural result is you're going to see yourself as you are. But if you're living in the darkness, you can actually convince yourself that you're doing okay. Hey, if I'm living in the darkness, right? Imagine if we walked around in really dim light all the time. We'd never know, would we, what was really bright and clean or not. If I had a stain on my shirt, I'd never really know for sure, because the light is so dim that, and do you know that some people walk around their whole lives in that state of not seeing? And here we are, and here's the deal, Christians, and you need to understand this. Here we are talking to people about sin in their lives, and we're trying to tell them things are sin. You know what? They can't see it. They can't see it. The light ain't on. And if the light doesn't come on, you can't see it. Listen, here's an important thing to remember, Christians. You and I cannot give people a revelation of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. If you're witnessing to somebody and praying for them to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you got to pray that the grace of God would reveal to them their sin. Because if he doesn't, they are going to say, what? What are you talking about? I'm not such a bad guy. You know, I pay my taxes and, you know, obey the speed limit. Never killed anybody, you know. A law-abiding citizen. I'm a good guy. What are you talking about? Well, what are they doing? They're comparing themselves with one another. But see, you're thinking in terms of the light of the glory of God. And in that light, none of us measures up. None of us does. But they can't see that light. They haven't even been open to it yet. So they're literally walking around in a state of perpetual darkness that basically says, I'm okay. In fact, there was a book that came out back in the 70s. I'm okay, you're okay. We're all okay. Okay? That's all there is to it. You know? I wonder if anybody ever wrote a book saying, I'm not okay, you're not okay. But God has the solution. Or something like that. Walking in the darkness keeps us from being able to see what's going on in our lives. And it's basically just self-deception. And in fact, if you skip down to verse 10 with me, John really kind of repeats the same thing in verse 10. He says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. You know why? Because that's what his word says. It says that you're a sinner. I mean, I hate to say that. I really do. When I'm talking to somebody who doesn't really know the Lord, I don't really like to keep harping on the sin thing. You know, because they think all I'm trying to do is just, you know, be a big fat drag in their life. But the fact of the matter is, God's word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. And if we claim, then, that I haven't sinned, what am I doing? I'm basically saying, God's a liar. I'm telling the truth. He's a liar. God doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm a good guy. And he says that the word of God has no place in our hearts if that's what's going on. Now let's go back and let's pick up verse 9, and this is what we're going to end with. Verse 9 is the good news. And it starts off this way. If we confess our sins. So rather than covering them up, rather than denying them, rather than pretending like they're not really there, if we confess our sins, then what will God do? Well, it says, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is such a powerful verse that I'm going to put it up on the screen here for you, because it's just, I think that this is one really, truly one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. In fact, I got a letter this week, horrible letter, sad letter, from an inmate out at the prison. And once in a while they come to me, and they even come addressed to me personally. I don't even know how they got my name. And I got this letter from an inmate, and he started off just kind of writing a poem. And the poem was about himself and his daughter. And I'm not giving you any names, so. And he talked in this poem about how he remembered seeing his daughter born and taking her first steps and all these other things. And then I'll spare you from the details, but toward the end, after the poem, he wrote in capital letters, "I sexually abused my daughter, my own daughter." And he said, I am a modern day leper. He said, the only difference is I gave myself leprosy. And he ended with a simple phrase, a simple question. Well, request. Please help. That was it. Please help. So I wrote him a 2.5 page letter. And I outlined for him this verse. 1 John 1:9. The only way that I know to help people who have done despicable things, and those even who think that their sins weren't so despicable, is to first of all come to the throne of grace and know that they can be forgiven. And I know that there may even be some people here who think that sin can't be forgiven. Well, I got news for you. It can. Because you'll notice what this verse says. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me go through these key words found in this verse. First of all, the word faithful. He's faithful. Do you know what that means? That means that God's never going to change his mind. When you come to him and ask for forgiveness, when you come to him and confess your sins, he's never going to say, well, that was our doorbuster last week, but this week it's something else. He's never going to say, you know, I've really kind of had it up to here with you, coming to me over and over again, and this time you're out of luck. He is faithful. And that means he will never change his mind. That means this promise will never be rescinded. He's faithful. You and I aren't always faithful. God is. The next key word in this verse is the word just. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment if I could. Let me skip over it for a second and deal with the third main word, and that is the word all. And this is a word, frankly, that even Christians or people coming to Christ skip over and they stumble over. Because the word all is an encompassing word. In fact, it's an all-encompassing word. What does this verse say? It says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from some of the things that we've done. Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? It says he'll purify us from... What is it? It's all, isn't it? Christians, does it say all to you? Is that what it says up there? You can look at it in any translation, by the way. All. Your Bible says that when you confess your sins, he is faithful and he is just and he will purify you from all unrighteousness. I can just get done reading that verse with somebody and they can look me in the eye and they'll say, but Pastor Paul, you don't know what I've done. And I come back and I say, well, you know, you're right. And you know what? I don't even need to hear about it. I mean, if you want to tell me, that's your business. I don't have to hear. Because I know one thing. that there is a promise in the Bible that says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will cleanse us and purify us from all acts of unrighteousness. Even, Pastor, are you trying to tell me even the most despicable, horrendous, heinous crimes against humanity can be forgiven? It's exactly what I'm saying. It wouldn't be good news if it wasn't all-encompassing. If it was just this kind of like, hey, you know, some of you guys, you know, I got good news for you. Some of the rest of you, you might just want to head on now to the barbecue. Maybe they have some stuff ready and you can eat your last meal. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful news? I want to go back and I also want to talk about this word just because this is important. The word just comes from the word justice. And the word justice is a legal term that means in keeping with the law. And what that means is if you get picked up for speeding, justice, if justice is going to be done for you, and the fine for speeding at that level is $150, then justice would demand that you be fined $150. We all know and understand what justice is. We call it also fairness. Your kids talk to you about it all the time, those of you who are parents. That's not fair. Somehow they're born with this innate desire for fairness, although they just assume it when they're at fault that we wouldn't be quite so fair in meting out justice. But the point is, this verse says that when we confess our sins, first of all, he's faithful, but next, he's just. You know what that's saying? It's saying that he is going to punish sin. Wait a minute. I thought we were talking about forgiveness here. But doesn't this verse say that he's going to purify us from all unrighteousness? Yes, it does. It doesn't say anything there about punishment. You see, but the purification, the forgiveness is what comes to you. The punishment went to somebody else. Jesus Christ came to earth to bear your punishment. And because he bore it for something he never did, God is just. Here's the point. God can't overlook sin. You and I can. If somebody does something wrong and I see it, I can turn a blind eye. I can just go, yeah, I didn't really see that. And I can just kind of go on my merry way. I can do that. You can too. A judge can do that, right? They've done it. The judge of all the universe, he can't do that. Because if he did, he would be unjust. And the Bible says he's just. In fact, he's perfectly just. So God cannot turn a blind eye to sin. Do you know what he's got to do? He's got to punish it. He's got to. God has to punish sin. And you know what the Bible says? The wages of sin is what? Death. So it's not a slap on the wrist. It's not 15 minutes in timeout. It's death. Okay? Somebody's got to die. You sinned. Somebody's got to die. Who's it going to be? God says, it'll be my son. I'm sending my son. He'll die. He'll die in your place. And all you have to do is accept it. And by sending his son to bear the penalty, to take upon himself the penalty that you deserved and I deserved, God is now just. He remains perfectly just. He did not sweep our sin under the carpet. He did not ignore it like it didn't happen. He punished it. But he punished it in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So what happened to your sin? It got punished. Somebody died, you guys, because of your sin and my sin. And it was Christ. That's good news. That's good news. In fact, that's the best news I've ever heard. I don't know, you had a better offer lately than forgiveness? Because somebody else bore your punishment? I haven't. Here's what he says. Whosoever believes in him, whoever comes, whoever believes, has eternal life, forgiveness. Just by accepting what Jesus did on our behalf. I think that's a good reason to celebrate. And you know, communion is when we celebrate what Jesus did for us. Amen? I'm going to ask the men who are serving communion to go ahead and ready themselves now to do that. We're going to bring the lights down, and we're just going to take some time. And we are going to celebrate communion, because the communion elements are a picture of that, of how God gave us forgiveness. But before the men serve, I want to just ask all of you to take a minute right here, right now. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just tune into the Lord, and I want you to take a minute and confess your sin. I want you just to personally tell the Lord, this is me. In all my blundering glory, Father, this is me. I made lots of mistakes. And take a minute and just tell the Lord. Tell Him. He knows already. But He wants to hear you confess it. Lord, here's what I've done. Here's my heart attitude. Here's my fear. Here's my immorality. Here's my loose tongue. Here's my heart of jealousy. Here's my anger. Here's my lack of trust. Here's my cheating. Here's my impatience. Here's my lack of love. Father, we confess our sins before You, and we ask You to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every act, every thought, every word. Lord, we thank You for washing us and cleansing us. Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, God, come and live in our hearts. Fill us with faith.